And we're back. Hey there. We're starting a little early today for this Freelancer Working From Home podcast because it's the 4th of July. Happy 4th of July, everyone in the U.S. And I have a feeling fireworks are going to be going off very shortly. We're here, usually it's 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that is just not going to work for the 4th of July. They will not wait for us. So, welcome to the podcast. Let me just get situated because we're moving a little bit sooner than normal. All right. Perfect. Well, thanks. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining me. Remember, we go live on CastBox. We do live cast on CastBox when we film this podcast. Let's see here. Today, we're going to be talking about 7 important life lessons you can learn from working remotely. And we're also going to dive into 12 qualities to look for when hiring freelancers. So we're going to start with the freelancing topic. If you're a business owner, if you want to hire freelancers, we've talked a little bit about this as a freelancer looking for work. I just wanted to throw in another article so everybody gets a business perspective. Okay. But we'll start out with the things specifically for freelancers. 7 important life lessons you can learn from working remotely. Number one. Oh, and as a reminder, this may be a shorter podcast just in case fireworks start going off. Okay. All right. Number one, time management. That's huge. If you're at work and you're not managing your time properly, you can get in trouble. You may have a talk with your manager. You might be reprimanded. Maybe nobody cares. As long as you get things done, maybe they don't care how you manage your time, or maybe deadlines aren't as strict. Maybe that company that you work for builds in deadlines that are flexible, just in case. If that's the case, great. But as a freelancer, all of that changes. It's all on you. So you need to be able to balance, you know, fun time, personal time, with work, with family, with friends, with loved ones, kids, spouse, whatever the case may be. It all has to balance. And personal perspective, one of the big things I've ran into is trying to make my work life that technically I can work whenever, right? As a freelancer, no one says you need to start at such and such time. And because I have that flexibility, I've seen people lean toward into it where they, oh, I'll do the job later. Or, oh, you know, I don't have to do this right now. I've got 2-3 more days. Well, 2 or 3 more days becomes, you know, 3 or 4 more hours. So you have to manage your time. And the worst thing that can happen is if you push off an assignment that you've had days to do and you wait till the last day and you say, I'm going to crank it out, get it done. And then you get hit with revisions, edits, you need help from a different client, or you have a big client that comes in, one that you really shouldn't pass up, but they need your services ASAP. This can put an extra strain on you. Okay. So the sooner you get time management done, the better. Let's see here. The article says, oh, by the way, I'm looking at this from flexjobs.com. Okay. Let's see here. For most people, they say it takes a little while to pick up time management. They need to be successful with a remote gig. Okay. Set reminders, create to-do lists, stick to a schedule. All these things can help. Basically, get your schedule. If you can block out time in your day where it's, you know, from noon to whenever I work, period, you'll get stuff done. What you don't want to do, and studies have shown, oh goodness, I don't have an article in front of me or the quote here, but I remember hearing this, so somebody fact check it. But studies have shown that when you switch from task to task, like let's say you're doing work and somebody comes in and says, hey, can I borrow you for a second? Or your kid runs in and says, daddy, daddy, mommy, mommy, come hang out with me. You run off and play for a little bit or something. Or your friend calls or texts you, says, hey, you have to hear about the latest gossip. Okay, and you stop what you're doing. Or you get on Facebook, whatever the case is. The motivation and productivity to switch tasks, and then once you're done being distracted to switch back to your task, there's lost time in there because usually you don't pick up right where you left off. Sometimes you pick up faster, but I think it's on average you lose like 3 to 5 minutes each time you do this. So imagine trying to get things done and constantly looking down at your phone, right? If you need to put your phone on airplane mode, throw it away, lock it in a drawer, right? when it's time to work, it's time to work. Unless you're using your phone for sales calls to talk to clients, you really shouldn't be checking your texts constantly, right? You should be in what some people call deep work, where you're not distracted, you're not spending energy, motivation, or time switching between meaningless tasks. You're really focused in what's important, what matters, and you really get it done and dive in, okay? Moving on. Self-motivation. Woo! Man, there are days where it's hard to get up and get out of bed, right? Some people suffer with depression, other people anxiety, other people lack of motivation, just don't want to do it. Nothing in work sounds fun. It can happen to anybody. And when you remove yourself from a working environment in an office, you'll lose some social ties, you'll lose facial interaction, and that does have a detrimental effect on your well-being, your mental well-being. So when somebody says, oh, well, I'm never like that, right? I don't know what's wrong. These freelancers can suck it up. Well, being secluded like that, there's a reason people form groups. There's towns and villages, right? Not everybody was a hermit for a reason, okay? It can have a detrimental effect, and that can then lead to killing your motivation. Here are some ways that some people think will help you increase motivation. Okay. One, bear with me here. One is the classic schedule your day. We've talked about scheduling, right? Time management. But if you know you wake up and you're going straight into, I don't know, checking your email, or you're going straight into the work that you didn't get done, or basically you don't have to think. You take the mental effort to say, what am I doing this morning? You take that out and you make things repetitive and habitual. When you do that, you help increase motivation because you're not spending extra time and energy thinking about, okay, what have I got to do this morning? Or, okay, what have I got to do this evening? You just go straight into your day, okay? I think everybody likes to talk about Steve Jobs, for better or for worse, right? But Steve Jobs wore a lot of the same outfit, iconically. And this reduced the time it took him to get dressed and start his day. This reduced the mental energy it took for him to say, what am I wearing? Or, you know, he could use that on other problems instead of thinking about what clothes to pick out. I've done it. Does this shirt go with this tie? Should I wear these pants? Or what about that suit or that outfit? Oh, no, this doesn't match. Oh, excuse me. Loud outside. 4th of July. Everybody's running around. There's a motorcycle. In case the microphone didn't pick it up, which I think it did, but that's what I was alluding to there. Anyway, back to the subjects. Keeping your motivation in control, self-control, for example, is huge. Okay. There's applications online that helps people avoid distractions. Oh, you can block websites while you're trying to work. That's a big one. Put your phone on do not disturb. Just get yourself away from distractions. It will help your motivation. It will keep you focused. You get the idea. Okay. Number three, they say balance family with work. I technically spoke about this just a second ago, and that's tough, right? This is something you may not think would be tough, but when you say, I set my own schedule, right? When you tell people that, I'm actually going to suggest you don't say that anymore. I would say my schedule can slightly change depending on clients' needs. So there's flexibility, a little flexibility in my day. Okay. Change the idea of I can work whenever, because if you tell somebody that, they might expect you to just do it another time if they want to hang out with you, including your family. Okay. So you're not someone who can work just whenever you want. In a lot of jobs you are. But if somebody says, hey, I need this done in 12 hours, right? Or I need you at the office. I need you answering the phones between this and this. Or if you're a lawyer for hire, a freelance lawyer, I need you at the courtroom between this and this. You're at the beckon and call, right, of every one of your clients. So, yeah, you have that flexibility to make agreements with each individual client. But that doesn't mean you are going to be like, you know, it's tough. It's tough because 1 week or 1 month or 1 year, when your clients change, your workload changes, things like that, you might have weekends off. Okay. A client may come along that, man, you really can't say no to because of the deal, the workload, the price. And they may say, I need you to work Saturdays or get things done on Saturdays. Well, there go your Saturdays for the next foreseeable future. And your family just has to deal with it. And that can be very tough. Right. I know my weekend, technically, my easiest day is Wednesday, middle of the week. Okay. If you've ever had a job that you don't get the traditional weekend, you already know where this is going. But for those of you who don't, imagine significant other, family, kids, whatever, they're around. And you have to just work, right? And nobody understands, really. They get it. They get that you're working. They understand that you have a job to do. But there's always going to be a confusion of, if you can set your own hours and choose your clients, why did you choose to work on the weekend? Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. Maybe it's a client you couldn't pass up, or maybe this is going to lead to new career options, or this is something really big for you, or this is something you really, really enjoy. The list could be expansive, right? Or you just need the work, right? Maybe it's, hey, I've got bills to pay, right? And so your weekend may be catty corner. It might be off kilter to everybody else's. So now you're not seeing friends. You're not seeing family. Everybody says, hey, today's the Thursday, right? Come over for the 4th of July, right? Why don't you come on over and hang out with us? Everybody has it off. Well, you might not, because you're a freelancer, right? You might have a client that needs something done in 48 hours and it's going to take you every bit of that, but, or you have something done that's, you know, it's not due the 4th of July, but it's due the 5th. Okay. But you need time for revisions. So you want that on your client's desk in the morning on the 5th so they can get it back to you if they have any questions, comments, concerns, and you can fix it before the deadline. Okay. When that happens, that's when gears really start to grind. When someone says, well, you're putting work first. Well, yeah, I just have different holidays than you. Okay. I have different days off than you. Some construction people do four on, three off, or like four on, four off, or something like that, where it fluctuates consistently every month. Okay. That can be tough to adjust to for some people. Or it's like if you work the night shift. Right? When your loved ones are awake during the day, you've got to be asleep. And it's tough because then you have to chisel out these times. You almost have to schedule time to be with your loved ones. And that then it feels like a chore or something to do. And it might feel like that for them as well, where it's like, okay, great. If we're going to hang out with dad or mom, it's got to be during this time. Wow, that sucks. And it can really suck. But the beauty of it is when freelance work can go in feast and famine. I've talked about this on other podcasts. And when it's feast and you're working constantly, well, you're gone for a month, right? You may not have any free time. But imagine you're in the military. You could be gone for 8 months, okay? So I get it. There's a difference because usually if someone's in the military and they have a significant other or family, they know what they signed up for, okay? Everybody knows. It's an agreement. There's no workaround. But when you're the boss and you're not having some, you know, government deploy you, and you're deploying yourself, tensions can arise. Okay. But what really comes in, what really is amazing, is you can set your schedule and you can say, no client, as long as you have the income, no client, I won't work this Saturday, right? I can't take that job. Or you've got to be flexible with me. If not, you got to find someone else. You can put your foot down for certain specific special occasions. And once you get really, you know, comfortable and supporting yourself financially, then you can do that more often. And that's when freelancing really shines. When someone says, yeah, I don't have the 4th of July off, but I'm always going to be there for my kids' dance recital. Or yeah, I don't have the 4th of July off, but when we take our anniversary trip, I'm going to be there. I don't have to ask for a job or a manager to approve my time. I'm going to be there. Okay. And period. Right. Full stop. End of sentence. No one else controls it except you. So that's, there's give and take. Okay. But it can be really difficult to balance. Sorry, this is a long topic because it's just so incredibly important for anyone who has never listened or who has never freelanced and lived with someone, had a significant other in their life, or kids or something. This is, well, balancing work and kids. Oh, talk to any parent, right? I almost think imagine you're putting the same amount of hours at a regular job as you would freelancing. Okay. And you have kids. I would almost say working at home is better in a lot of regards. You save time on your commute. Rather than commuting to work, you could be taking your kids to school. Since you can be flexible in your hours, you can set your shift to start as soon as they walk out that door, right? I mean, most companies like start at 9, start at 10, start at 11, whatever the case is, but you could start at, you know, 7:43, right? Or 6:52. Like, it doesn't matter when your kids get on the bus, but that could be when you just let your employer know, this is when I start. This is when my day starts, period. And as long as that's an agreement ahead of time, you can be there up and you can do the entire parenting routine and you choose that it will never conflict with your work schedule, right? Now, if there's hiccups or your kid's sick and they need to come home from work, how nice is it to say, oh, okay, I'm at home. I can just come get you right now. Rather than I'm at work, I can't get away from the desk. Oh my goodness, right? Could you imagine being in a job that your kid's sick at work? Or sorry, you're at work, your cell phone, maybe you're in an area where your cell phone doesn't work. You don't have your cell phone on the job site. You're not paying attention, whatever, right? Or you're doing something that's loud, heavy machinery, and your kid's trying to get a hold of you because they're sick or they're something worse. They're like on their way to the hospital. Who knows? You know, bad things can happen. Life strikes. And you just don't get to go because you're too far away or you're quote unquote on deployment. Or maybe you're a worker for a company that's on a work trip where you had no choice. You're just in another state and you can't be there. That sucks. I don't wish that on any parent, right? And if it's ever happened to a parent, I'm sure they can say, oh, wow, yeah, that's something I never really want to happen again, but it's kind of out of my control. True. But if you're a freelancer and working from home, that's when you put it back in your hands. That's when you put the power to be there for kids. Now, even if that means, yeah, when Joey and Jane get home from school, they've got to be super quiet for like an hour or something like that, or 20 minutes while dad or mom finishes up work. So be it. That's just the way life is. But then you're there. Boom. Family time, right? Or maybe you always make it to family dinner, but then after you have to go back to work and finish some projects, but you're always there for those important moments. Okay. Sometimes it's the little things that count. Sometimes it's consistency. Kids sometimes like consistency when the beautiful world we live in is so inconsistent. It's nice to be able to say, oh, I'll be there. And no boss and no client can stop you. Anyway, moving on. They also say separating work life from home life. Now, hold on. Oh, yeah. Okay, that is completely different. So here are some life. This is why it's on the list for life lessons that you learn whilst working at home. Separating work life and home life is difficult. We've talked about this with on a different podcast with when you work from home, sometimes you don't turn off or you can always just work because it's there. So imagine that draw to work because as a freelancer, the more you work feasibly, right, the more you don't have a big enough ceiling. You only have the amount of hours in the day for you, but you don't technically have a ceiling for how much you can earn, which is good, kind of. But what it can do is it can pull you away from, oh yeah, should I be, what's a good example? After dinner, family dinner or something, the kids say, I'm going to go outside and swing on a swing or play with a stick in the yard. I don't know, kid stuff, ride a bike. So you could go out there and watch, ride bikes with your kid, right? You could go play a game with your child. Or, well, if they're going to be busy, why don't I hop on the computer, do a little bit more work. You know, maybe get ahead, get that project out. You know, maybe a half an hour, 20 minutes of work, you know, or an hour or two, while they're busy. You know, if they want to talk to me, they'll come see me. Okay. But if it becomes a habit of mom or dad works from home, leave mom or dad alone when they're working, the kid may not come. And it depends on your relationship with the family, but they may be like hesitant to come distract you from work, especially if they've done so and gotten scolded or in trouble for it. Okay. So if you're pulling yourself away from work more than you ought to be, and you'll have to decide what's right for you and your family. But if you're pulling yourself away from family to do work when they're home and they're available, they ask tons of people when they're older. I got a family member just like this as well. They ask, like, do you wish you would have worked more? The answer is never yes. That's never the case. It's like, do I wish I would have accomplished this? Yes. Do I wish things would have maybe been a little different sometimes? Do I wish I would have spent more time with my family? Yes, that's one. That is one that pops up. Okay. So if you don't have to, obviously don't get behind on your stuff. Don't let your family suffer because of either lack of motivation or don't let your financial stability suffer because you're putting their, well, God, that's a debate in itself, isn't it? You can always make more money. You can always find another job. You can always do something else. But mental stability and family happiness is so crucial. Okay. Anyway, I digress. Working from home and balancing work and home life it's a task. But it can be fun. It can be easily done. You just have to find what works right for you. And remember, nobody regrets spending more time. Well, it depends on your family and how much you get along, but usually people don't regret spending more time with their family. Okay. Next, reaching your maximum potential. Interesting. Let me read this to see what they're going for here. They say, hey, face it, not everyone is a morning person. Actually, I was just having a conversation about this outside of the podcast, and it was basically circadian rhythms and sleeping and how teenagers, they push their sleep schedule further into the night. They stay awake longer because that's better for them. Like, they're meant to. Who knows why? It's just how the brain works. Okay. And then things change as you get older, and it's different for every person. My brain is not your brain. Okay. You learn differently than I do. We act differently. We have a different background. Our chemistry is probably different. Brain's an interesting instrument and tool. Amazing. Anyway, they also say on the opposite side of the spectrum, some people simply lose all motivation after lunch. It's true. There's productivity levels. There's graphs and charts that show productivity levels for workers throughout the day. And nobody runs diesel all day. Nobody runs like a freight train, okay, all day. It doesn't happen. You have boosts in productivity time. Everybody does. When that happens for you, tough to say. Now, if you're on a schedule and you're getting up at the same time every day, you're going to start to see when you're most productive or able to be most productive. Maximize that. So imagine, perfect example. You could be at 50% productivity for, 4 hours. And that could be in the afternoon when your family's home because you're distracted. You want to be out there. You want to be hanging out with the family. You want to do other stuff. 50% productivity. But in the morning, right after everyone leaves the home, you're at your best. You're at your 100% productivity, whatever that means for you. Okay. 2 hours focused work in the morning counts for 4 at night. Time is so important. You don't get it back. Ask any millionaire, billionaire, like if they could buy time, would they invest? Okay. Time is so crucial. So if you can make work matter when work needs to be done, then you can put family first during your less productive times. Okay. Anyway, they say a flexible schedule doesn't necessarily mean you'll never have another meeting or call when you aren't at your peak working potential. But as a freelancer, you can kind of set your schedule, right? What it does mean is that you'll have the opportunity to discover what hours of the day work best for you, as well as work best and make you feel the most motivated, right? Do you need a window, loud music? You want some plants, do whatever you want. Keep your office the way you like. Just make sure you motivate yourself and get things done, right? Staying connected is number six. Pretty big, because like I mentioned at the very beginning of this, if you don't stay connected with people and social groups, it lowers anxiety, depression, social ties. These things get worse, and it can have a serious effect on your motivation, determination, drive, okay, or well-being in general. They say one of the greatest lessons that you'll figure out while working from home is that the ability to stay in people's minds when you aren't front and center is hard, okay? When you're face-to-face, people think of you daily, right? Day in and day out, the boss has to deal with you. Great. They like you. They think, well, they may not like you, but they deal with you, and you're on their mind, okay? But when there is no physical presence, sometimes you'll get left on the back burner, and it might make you feel separated, not as part of the group, things like that. It's human nature. So don't hate on them, right? Oh, wow, I'm the remote worker and they never include me. Well, people are dumb. People are brilliant, but people are dumb, right? So take it in stride, okay? So try and reach out. Do communication. Use it the right way. Email, phone, weekly check-ins, meetings. Do everything you can. Maybe go into the office for a day. Say hi. Be a part of the team, stay connected. Now, if you're a freelancer, it's a little bit harder because sometimes you don't have a team. It's just you, little old you, right? Get a club, social events, have a life, be active, stay happy. Next up, technological know-how, right? So these are the life lessons working from home. Let's talk about technological know-how. I'm not sure what they're going for here. It could be, when you work on your own, you have to do a lot more, right? If you're a freelancer, you're your own accountant. You're your own boss. You're the sales and marketing team. You are the editing, the social media. You're the everything. Everything, it's on you. But let me see what our actual article says here. And remember, this is flexjobs.com. The last thing a work from home employee wants is for their internet to be down right before an important Google Hangout meeting. Which, by the way, Google Hangouts is changing. Prepare for that. They also don't want to be late for a call just because they couldn't figure out how to dial in. Oh, man. I see where they're going here. No matter what your age is or how good you are with technology, if you work from home, it's your job to be your own IT consultant. This means you better know how to chat, get into the server, right? Set up conference calls. And you better reset your internet. That's what they say. You better reset your internet. It's italicized. They really insist. Now, I let mine run more than I should. And I had a modem, and I killed it after like 2 years. Didn't even last 2 years. Dead in the water. And man, was I scrambling to get stuff done. I was lucky it was feast or famine. I was at a famine. So I didn't have a lot of work going on, right? If you lose internet, public library, but you reserving a conference room, not all libraries can do that. Now, there are places where there's co-working spaces all throughout the world. If you need a list of co-working spaces, go to opensourceworkplace.com. They have, I think, like 10,000 spaces across the whole world and growing constantly. Check it out. That was opensourcedworkplace.com if you want that list. But co-working locations near you, you can also do a Google search. Find what's like when you run out of internet, because internet, that's everything. It's everything, unless you're a freelance writer. Even then, a call, a chat, messages, staying connected, turning assignments in, uploading or downloading assignments. Gotta have internet. So phones are smart now, right? And you can get a lot done, or you can piggyback off your phone's internet. But if you don't have a data plan, you just use Wi-Fi, it can hurt you even more. What I like to do, I'm in voice, right? So what we have is XLR cables that connect the mic to the condenser, right? And then before it goes into the computer. And what I do is I always have a backup cable, right? And it's already saved me once. And that once is currently, because I just had a cable, get knocked out on me. So I have a new one on the way, but I'm using my backup because work needs to happen right now. I have two modems. One doesn't work, but I should probably go get it fixed at an IT store, right? Reduce, reuse, repurpose, I guess in this case, but that's something I will consider depending on how this next few months goes. We're thinking about, and now I'm in Chicagoland and we are planning to shift gears and move to the Los Angeles area just to broaden the market and potential clients. So good stuff. If you're in the area, connect with me on LinkedIn. Alec Dinkoff will be coming your way. Okay. Article also says it might take a while to settle in a remote life, which just like any life change, it does take time. But once you figure it out, you'll often learn a lot about yourself. Okay. You'll figure out your work ethics, what motivates you, what's going to get you to where you need to be, not only in your career, but in other areas of your life. So really reflect. Okay. Reflect on yourself at the end of the day. I was listening to, is it Tony Robbins? Oh, I don't remember. It was some sort of motivational speech type deal. And they said, wake up every day and say, what one meaningful... Oh, it's Benjamin Franklin. This comes from Benjamin Franklin. How appropriate on a day like the 4th of July, right? And I think he used to wake up and say, ask yourself one meaningful thing. Like, what? Ask yourself what you want to accomplish. One meaningful thing that you want to accomplish. And then at the end of the day, reflect and say, what did I do that was meaningful? Did I accomplish my goal? Okay. And that constant reflection. Now, back in those days, they had a lot more time to think, because while Benjamin would have been laying in bed thinking, you can now stare at your smartphone, which I highly don't suggest you do. But operating by candlelight, things act a little bit differently. Actually, let me tell you Benjamin Franklin's, he had a schedule. Okay, Benjamin Franklin's daily schedule, right? Let me tell you what his freelance, so to speak, right? He was a man about town. He got to run his life the way he wanted to, had different things going on. So in the morning at 5 a.m., he'll rise, he'll wash, and address powerful goodness and ask the question, what good shall I do this day? Okay, so it's worded a little differently, but you get the idea. Okay, they'll contrive the day's business and take the resolution of the day. So basically, figure out what's got to get done. What do I need to do? What's going on? Then they will prosecute the present study and have breakfast. So a little bit of light work in the morning. Okay, you get ready, and while you're getting ready, you're thinking about your day. Right? What good am I going to do today? What do I have to do today? What's the business that needs attended to? Okay. And then as you're having breakfast, you're doing a little bit of light pursuit, whether it be studying a language, doing a little bit of research in your field, things like this. Okay. Then that's from 5 to 7, 2 solid hours of getting ready, getting dressed, and eating and you can't just running the bath back then took a lot more time. So keep that in mind. We can really speed this up. Okay. But for a general rule of thumb, that's this. Then they move into 8 to 11 work. Okay. On this, it doesn't highlight what work they're doing. No. So this is the kind of concept where you start creating habits. You start increasing your motivation by knowing from a certain time to a certain time, in this case, Benjamin Franklin, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., all they did was work. Whatever needed done, work time, okay? 4 solid hours of work. And that's going to change depending on what time is best for you to be motivated, but get your time, okay? It doesn't have to be hard, steady work, but get it done. Start working, okay? from 12 to 1, they read, overlook their accounts, and dine. Okay, so basically they're checking up on their finances. They're making sure home's in order and reading. So rather than work, this could be studying. This could be reading the news, staying informed. This could be reading something for entertainment. Most likely it was the news or staying informed, right? But they're not prosecuting the present study, as he so funly said. Oh, look at me botching the English language while speaking about forefathers. This is fantastic. But prosecuting the present study is the thing you're trying to do or accomplish or get better at, right? Whereas reading is just maybe doing a little bit more, looking into stuff, reading for fun, research, things like this. Okay. Moving on from 2 to 5, work. Okay, so boom, no other notes, just work. 4-hour block, get into it, right? No distractions, work. That's that deep work. That's task to task to task, getting things done. Okay. Lastly, 6 to 9, another 4-hour block. They put things in their places. So maybe a little cleanup for the home. They have supper, biggest meal of the day, right? Or dinner. They listen to music or they do some sort of diversion, is what they say. So an entertainment. Or they converse. They talk with the family, talk to neighbors, talk about their day with someone on the, well, not back then, not maybe not on the phone, but they converse. And then they examine the day, right? 9 p.m., last thing they do, right in that block, examine the day. Reflect. Think about what you did. And then ask yourself in the evening, what good have I done today? Right? Did you do anything? No? Uh-oh. Right? Did you do stuff? Yes. Was it good? Uh-oh. It's got to be beneficial. Maybe not for you, but maybe for the world. Maybe for yourself. Maybe for your family. Maybe for... what good did you do? Right? If you walk away from a day and say, wow, I really didn't do anything. Okay, it happens. Benjamin Franklin, I think, has been quoted saying, you know, I didn't follow the schedule every single day. It's just my outline, right? So I guess take that into consideration. But if you have a lot of days where you say, well, I didn't really do anything, quote unquote, good, right? Or I just mass indulged in entertainment. Well, not great, right? We as humans, I think, can be a little bit better. But, you know, I'm not saying that it's wrong to have days like that. And if you want to spend the rest of your life doing that, we're in such an age where so many things can be consumed. There's entertainment in all forms, shapes, and varieties. There's no wonder why people would elect to be entertained and enjoy themselves, because we're not struggling to make food anymore. We can go to the grocery store, right? We're not worried that there's going to be another war. We're kind of like, technically we're in war, right? But a lot of stuff doesn't hit home on your home front if you're in the majority of the English speaking countries right now, right? Things happen in your neighborhood and area. Tragedy can happen anywhere. Don't get me wrong. Okay. But I don't wake up every day in fear. And I'm guessing you don't either, listening to this podcast. There are some people who do. Anyway. But without that overarching, right, the British aren't going to invade again. Sorry, speaking of British, we do a UK versus US great debate Saturdays and Sundays, 11 p.m. or 11 a.m. to noon Eastern Standard Time, 4 to 5 p.m. GMT. So little fun, little tidbit. Join us. I got a wonderful co-host during that time, Danny, who also does voice acting like myself, this freelance as well. Ryan Provostri says hello in the chat. Hi, how's it going? Remember, we're live, so feel free to join us or add me and connect with me later on LinkedIn. Angie, also in the chat, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. If you have any questions, let me know. What was I going to say? Oh, and then from 10 to 4 a.m., 10 p.m. to 4 a.m., good old Ben would sleep. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours of sleep. So as you get older, studies show that you don't need as much sleep. Okay. Fair enough. When you're younger, people think you need more sleep. Sleep is a funny subject. If you haven't heard of the book Why We Sleep, check it out. Why We Sleep. Interesting book. Lots of good information. But in this, Benjamin Franklin doesn't talk about working out. We know exercise is critical, okay? And there is nothing about exercise. And if you look at Benjamin Franklin, that's no wonder. A little bit of pooge, right around the belly. But he didn't seem to put exercise into this daily schedule. So you don't have to follow this to a T. You're going to find what works for you and what works best. But if you can make solid hours count, like we talked about earlier with motivation, it's going to change your life dramatically. Oh, back to the point of having less scarcity, war on home front, food at the grocery store, roof over your head, water, right? And if you can't afford these things in the U.S., a lot of times they will be given to you, or there will be some sort of subsidized grant money. Anyway, these things are possible out there, so you're not completely out of luck. But since that scarcity and worry is gone, you can really focus on what can you do to better your life. But if you don't do that and you just want to have days where, I'm not too worried anymore, I get it. I see why that has a presence. Okay. I'm not knocking it. Trust me, I'm not. You do you. You do you better than I do. I would never want to do you. I'm going to do me. All right. Moving on. That was 7 important life lessons that you can learn when you work from home. That's on flexjobs.com. Real quick, I want to cover 12 qualities to look for when you're hiring remote workers. Okay, so if you're a freelancer and you don't really care about this, it's going to be odd, but I'm going to say, have a good evening. Check us out Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Have a good one. Now, if you're a business owner, this is where you tune in, right? This is when we start listening. 12 qualities to look for when hiring remote workers. This is on Medium.com. I think Medium, I do believe it's a remote work site. Heard about Medium. I think that was on one of the best companies that give remote work. Not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure. Anyway, article goes on to say 77% of remote workers are more productive when working outside the company's office. Yeah, okay, there's a time and a place, or there's a right environment for the right person. There's a reason why they've become remote workers, right? 45% reported they're getting more sleep. Sleep is good. Why We Sleep, check out the book. 52% of remote workers said they're less likely to take time off from work, even when they're sick. That's true. There's that pull to be at work. There's that balance of family time and you time. When you're at home, there's definitely an urge that you could always just be working. Anyway, remote workers are also financially motivated. They save up to $5,000 per year just because they're working remote. Nice little bonus, right? So here are the qualities that they say you got to have. If you're going to hire a remote worker, please, please, please take these into consideration. Number one, communication. I have talked about this in so much depth. Communication is so important. Okay. Man. Wow. If someone doesn't communicate their goals with the client or what they can provide with the client, if they don't communicate how they're going to help you, how they're going to get the project done, there are going to be a lot of worries, frustrations, and things that should have been said that weren't. I could continue talking about it, but I've spoken about it so much, I'm just going to move on. They've got to have great communication. Next, positive attitude. Ooh, yes. So I get excited about this one because I don't think this has actually popped up in other lists we've done. They've got to have positive attitude. Let me take a sip of water 1 second. All right. With a positive attitude, so many good things can happen. Positive people help other people become more positive. Okay. Bad apples spoil the bunch. Same concept works for positive people. They can uplift others. They can make teams great. A positive attitude is so nice. People that are enthused, want to be working with you, want to be on the project, they're much more favorable to work with than the Debbie Downers, people that just want to be there to get paid and get the job done with, and they don't care. Pick positive if you can, right? That's the way to do it. And besides, if somebody's negative and they're a freelancer and you put them into a team where they say, where you say you're doing something, right? We're getting everything ready, but we're going to bring in a freelancer to do our marketing, do the sales of this, do the customer service representative portion of this, whatever it is. And they have to deal with a team. You're going to, if they're super negative, that team will hate dealing with them. So yeah, a one-off is okay. But then as a business owner, right, as a company, you got to say, well, we liked it, it worked out, but we have to find a new freelancer now. We can't go back to that same person because of how detrimental they could be to our team. Find someone positive, right? Make everybody do better. Okay. Number three, a doer. Ooh, who's been at work? And they've worked with that person that says, oh, wow, something needs done, right? Or like, let's say, oh, the trash needs taken out, something silly, something very, anybody can do it. Most of us all have hands, right? So we can pick it up, walk it outside. And they say, oh, the trash needs taken out. Quiet. Huh, I wonder who's going to take the trash out. Quiet. Right? Someone says, I don't know, yeah. Does need taken out. Say, yeah. Oh, are you going to take the trash out? Why are you asking? Just take the trash out. Find a freelancer that's a doer, right? In the amount of time that you sat there talking about, who's going to take the trash out? I wonder who's going to take the trash out. That trash needs to be taken out. Well, I mean, I'm not hired to really take the trash out. We should have a janitor for that, but we don't really have a janitor in this office. Oh my goodness, just take the trash out, right? Nobody's going to be upset that you stopped your job, unless it's super critical that you have deadlines and things to get done, to take the trash out, right? And everybody can find a time in their day to take the trash out, right? Or do the dishes or clean the such and such, right? It's not hard. Okay. But there are coworkers that are just ruthless when it comes to, oh, that's not my job. Does somebody else want to handle that? And they're not fun to work with. Find somebody who's adaptable. Okay, that's great. Find somebody who can work with your team. And if you want to put them on another team, they're going to fit in just fine. Find someone who's ready to work with you as a company, but as your company grows, they're going to change with you. Find a freelancer that can work with your needs one day. Let's say you're a graphic design company, but you need a still image, right? You're going to play with the company's street logo sign thing, but they're going to hire you to go out and take a photo of that street logo sign or the storefront, right? You go out, you take the picture, send off the photo, and it's done. Well, maybe the client they're working with wants a different lighting, different time of day, different side, different angle, okay? You got to go back out. Well, some people, yeah, maybe you'll charge for it. You're a freelancer. Fine, okay? Come to an agreement with the client. But rather than get mad about it and say, oh, you didn't know what you wanted as a client, it's not their fault. Their client didn't know what they wanted. It happens, right? You got to be flexible. If you're not adaptable, what really stinks is working with somebody and halfway through the project, they say, yeah, that's not going to work. You're going to need to find someone else. Really frustrating. Find someone who's reliable. I laugh because what company doesn't want someone who's reliable? That's, if you promise a deadline, make the deadline. Freelancers get this, sometimes we'll get this mentality that I do whatever I want. I'm on my own clock, right? You just kind of have to put up with me. I'm my own boss. You don't tell me what to do. Woo! That is an attitude that will drive your business down. There are some like that, but do find a reliable freelancer. You'd think all of them were, you'd be wrong. Organized and able to prioritize. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Some people are perfectionists and they'll spend, you know, I don't know, 20% of their time working on something that's worth 0% of the project. They could just leave it, get it to you, maybe revise it later. That sometimes this comes with wisdom and experience. So organize, prioritize, find a freelancer that does that. Okay. Self-motivated. Oh man. a freelancer that's not self-motivated, what, I don't know why you're freelancing. Go work for a company and just drain the clock, right? Of course, employers don't want you to do that either. But if you're not a self-motivated freelancer, I don't know if I agree with it being on this list, because as a company, when you work with a freelancer, maybe they're not self-motivated, but somehow you found them, right? And you're working with them now. You've come to an agreement. If they're not self-motivated, fine. They might be slow. They may miss deadlines, which is really bad. But as a company, you can also set deadlines. So if the freelancer isn't motivated to do the work, maybe by setting the deadline, they'll get motivated to want to work with you, want to get the job done right, there's a lot of factors that get played into this, right? So there can be other motivating factors that draw them forward. Okay. I don't know if I 100% agree with this self-motivation thing being on the list. In a way, yes. Next is excellent time management skills. Yeah, if they're not managing their time properly, they're going to miss deadlines. They're going to mess things up for you and your business, and that looks bad on you. Okay? So make sure they have excellent time management skills. Heaven forbid that you're trying to talk to an employee or a freelancer, and they say, yeah, let's give a call at 9 a.m., and they're just not around. It just goes to voicemail, and you get a call back in like 2 or 3 hours. Like, you don't want to waste your time. You're not on their beck and whim. Yes, I know you can't tell them exactly what to do, and you can't fire them, but yeah, you can fire them, and you don't have to waste your time on them. Next is ability to work independently. If they need somebody constantly saying, excuse me, you said this would be, you know, in by today, where are we on this project? And no response. Or, I needed some help. I couldn't get it done. It was tough. It was difficult. I'm going to need to hire somebody else. I'm going to have to increase the budget. Whatever the spiel, the long-winded explanation or excuses, if they can work independently and communicate, then things should be able to get done. Next, freelancers that are team-oriented. This is interesting, right? There are freelancers that are team-oriented. I'm one of them. I like working with people, but there are some people that freelance because they can't work on a team. Okay, keep that in mind. They couldn't cut it with other people in the office, or they couldn't stand other people in the office, all right? Since there's types of people like that, there's going to be types of freelancers like that. And you filter through and find the ones that are team-oriented, because last thing you want to do is have that freelancer that's really good at their job, but man, oh, is it horrible to communicate with them. They never respond. When they do, they sound angry, upset, they're rude. They don't care about the company. They care only about their part. And let's say you're taking a set of, I don't know, you're writing a set of blogs or articles for the company. You've got a contract. You're going to release 3 articles over the course of 3 weeks, 1 a week, period. That's what you set up. That's the contract. That's the promise. Okay, fine. Set in stone. Maybe the team contacts them and says, yeah, we'd really like you to do a certain article first, right? It's going to make us have an easier day, easier time. And they say, no, I don't want to. I'm going to do that whenever I want. I can't promise you anything. That's not what you hired me for, right? You hired 3 articles whenever I want. Oh, okay, but if you could, you know, maybe make the article a little bit more like this when you're writing it. No, I'm not going to do that. And if I do, maybe you'll see it when it's done. Being standoffish, not a team player, not trying to help other people. It's your company. It's what's best for the company, right? It's not what's best for a member or the team or the price. It's what's best for the company. So sometimes, even if it's a price difference, pay a little bit more and find somebody who's better for your company. Work ethic. Okay. Self-motivated, team-oriented, ability to work independently. I think we're starting to get into something that's being a little overused in this top 12 list, and that's work ethic. You get the idea. Work well. Work strong. Work smart. Get things done. Next up, and last, results oriented. Sometimes as a company, you just need the project. You just need the goal, right? It doesn't have to be, if it's cinematic, if it's a video, if it's photography, it doesn't have to be Hollywood. It just has to be good. It has to be business appropriate. Okay. Getting the job done, doing what it takes to do it. And if there's constraints that are put on by the client as the freelancer, they're going to know that, right? If they're like, we need this in 12 hours, help, please. They already know what they're signing up for, right? And whether at the end of the day, like communication, right? If you communicate to them and say, listen, I can get you something in 12 hours, it's not going to be perfect. And they say, fine, just get us something, right? In 12 hours, you better have something. Because if you're not results oriented and you're thinking to yourself, well, this isn't my best work. I can't put this out there. This looks bad on me. Well, what looks worse is not doing the job you promised to do. Get it done. Yeah. Get it done. If you can't hear it in the background, there's some fireworks starting to pop off. And that means it's time for us to start shutting down the podcast. So happy 4th of July for all you Canadians listening. Happy Canada Day. I think that was a day or two ago. Yeah, as time goes on, it's just going to get louder and louder. So we'll do a little bit of an outro. Thanks for joining me. Remember, I'm live on Livecast here on CastBox. Monday through Friday doing freelancer, working from home, working remote types of podcasting, right? This is what we cover. If you have any questions, if you want to see the show go a little bit differently, right? Let me know. Contact me, Alec Dinkoff on LinkedIn. UK versus US, The Great Debate is another podcast segment we run Saturdays and Sundays. And that is 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay. Or 6 to 7 on Pacific. And oh, I'm so sorry. No, UK versus US on the weekends is not 9 to 10. That's what this is, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday. They are 11 a.m. to noon Eastern Standard Time, okay? So that is 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. GMT, okay? Hope you can join us. That one's really fun. We do a lot of great stuff with the U.S. versus U.K. debate on Saturdays and Sundays. I think we're going to be talking about culture and laws. Really funny, wacky laws that we have. Oh, Scotty in the chat says, hi, Alec. Hey. Hey, Scotty, how's it going? Happy 4th of July if you're in the U.S. If you're not, happy Canada Day if you're in Canada. If you're anywhere else, well, I hope your day's going well. Cool. All good? Good. I'm glad you're doing all right. Oh, you're in the U.K.? Hey, we do a U.K. versus U.S. debate. I'll say it one last time for you. And that's on Saturdays and Sundays, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. GMT. Join us. It'll be fun. You're coming in here at the end of the podcast. Thanks, everybody, for joining. Angie, Ryan, Scotty, and the rest. Right? Really appreciate it. I'm here Monday through Friday. If you have any questions, let me know. Put it in the chat. I'll answer them here before we turn off, and I go enjoy the 4th of July. Any questions for me? If not, you can always find me on LinkedIn. Say it one last time. Okay. No immediate questions that need to be addressed. Fantastic. Thanks, everybody. Really appreciate you being here. Really appreciate you listening. Any topics you want to cover, I'll do it. We can move away from freelancing, working remote. But that's a topic that means a lot to me. So I'm always willing to talk about it. But not talk about it any further this evening. All right, everybody. Have a good one, and we'll see you tomorrow.